following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, good evening, everyone. This is End Time Headlines. We want to welcome you to tonight's program. I am your host, Ricky Scapparo, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. Listen, if you're new to the broadcast, this is your first time joining us on the visual platform of this, or if this is your first time listening by app or by Spotify, we want to welcome you to tonight's broadcast. Please do me a favor. If you can comment under whatever platform you're watching or listening from, let us know that you are new, where you guys are joining us from. We always love to hear from our new viewers, and we want to welcome you to the broadcast. We hope that you'll be blessed by tonight's message. If you're new, every week, about four times a week, we bring information, we bring revelation, we bring equipping, exhorting to the body, and that's what we're going to do tonight. So I know many of you guys are really kind of eager to hear what we're going to talk about because of everything going on in the Middle East, and we are going to talk about that tonight, but we're going to take a different angle. I don't want to load you down with information on this broadcast because the information is coming in so quick and such at a rapid pace. That's why I want to refer to you. I want to refer you guys to our main website right there below you, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. There's a lot of information that we'll be putting up on our main website. So go please subscribe to the website, or not subscribe. We don't have a subscription base, but bookmark the website, but you can download our free app. This is what we tell everybody. This is how you keep up with our information and everything that we have. Go to the Apple Store, the Google Play Store, depending on what device you have. Just go in there and search for End Time Headlines. If you're listening to this, you'll see the ETH logo right there on your screen. If you're looking at the visual of this, you'll see the ETH logo with the four blood moons, a solar eclipse in the middle. That is our trademark logo. Look for that logo. That's going to be our app. Download it today. Hit yes to push notifications. If you're watching this by a platform in which there is a description of this video, in the description it says download our free app. Download that free app right there. Just click on the link, and that's how you're going to be able to get it. And again, push notifications, hit yes to it, and you're going to be good to go. You're going to have every headline, every podcast when it is readily available. So tonight, I want to talk about the apocalyptic side to what's going on in the Middle East. So let's get after it. Listen, I want to tell you the reality is there is a lot of things happening right now. Things are accelerating. We could go all kinds of different angles. And there's no way I can put all of this into one segment. There's no way I can put all this in one podcast. It would be a 4-hour podcast. Tomorrow night, I want to encourage you to join us right here, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. We're going to be with Bishop Larry Ragland of the Big Picture Intelligence Report. We are going to be on there tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. We're going to talk about even more stuff that we probably won't cover tonight. But tonight, I want to talk about the apocalyptic side to this. And you say, well, Brother Ricky, what are you talking about the apocalyptic side to this? All right, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. This is going to be the foundation, and then we're just going to springboard off of this. We're going to show you a lot of stuff tonight. So listen, you're going to have to just pay attention, get you some caffeine, get you a cup of coffee, get you a soft drink, a tea, or if you're like me and you're in the southern states, get you some sweet tea, something that's going to get you alert so that you can pay attention to what we're going to talk to you about tonight. Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus. He gives them instructions here. He also reveals a very powerful revelation here. Listen to what he says. Again, this is Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. My goodness, if there was ever a time that we need to put on the whole armor of God, it's right now. Why? So that we can be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now that word wiles is a word for schemes, the plots, the assignments of the devil. Come on, how many believe, Look what's going on in the world right now. These are the assignments of hell: to kill, steal, and destroy. Let me say that again. Schemes, plots, assignments of hell: to kill, steal, and destroy. This is exactly what we're seeing play out right in front of us. We are not going to politicize this. I mean, if you're looking for another channel that's going to do that, this is not the channel for you. You may want to go somewhere else. We are keeping it biblical, not political. We're going to show you, and I'm going to prove to you today, this is not about a certain ethnic group. This is not about Arabs or Muslims or Jews. This is not about Democrats or Republicans or conservatives or independents. This is not about the donkey party or the elephant party. This is not about that. This is not about the Illuminati. This is not about the New World Order, the Rothschild, the Bilderbergs, the World Economic Forum, the UN. This is not what we're talking about. They are not the culprits behind this. They can be puppets. They can be conduits. They can be on the other end of the strings that's pulling them. But no. But watch this. Look what Paul says, Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. This isn't about flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this age, and spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. It is absolutely imperative that you guys understand this, or you're not going to understand the rest of this segment. Paul is telling us here that we are seeing schemes, plots, assignments, and plans of the devil by Satan, by Lucifer. He's the puppet master that's pulling the strings. He's influencing groups, factions, terrorist groups, organizations. He's pulling the strings. We'll give you a deeper understanding of this in just a second. And he tells you there is ranks under Satan, principalities. Principalities are chief prince spirits. By the way, two of those chief prince spirits are in the Middle East. They've been there since the days of Daniel the prophet, and they're still there. One is called the Prince of Persia, and the other is called the Prince of Grecia. These are chief prince spirits that are over this region that has wreaked all kinds of hell against people, empires, and men and women of God for thousands of years. Why do you think they call this area there the 1040 window? Why do you think missionaries call that the most dangerous place to reach people with the gospel on the face of the earth? Did you know that in the book of Revelation, it talks about where Satan's seat is? Did you know that in the plains of Shinar, where the Tower of Babel was constructed and built, where Nimrod spearheaded this whole thing, this was the central location where all false religions of the world was birthed out of, and it came right there out of Genesis chapter 11. This is the hot spot, and has been the hot spot, and will be the hot spot right there in the Middle East, around the entire Mediterranean Sea basin. The 1040 window, Iraq, Iran, Syria, Lebanon, Israel, Egypt, that whole region, that whole area is going to be the center focal point and the hotspot of all end time prophetic activity in the last days. Don't miss it. But there is two prince chief spirits called the Prince of Persia and the Prince of Grecia. This is identified by Daniel. This is identified in the book of Daniel, these two prince chief spirits. Now, why am I bringing this up? Because remember, let me pull this back up. Paul says that we are wrestling against, we are contending with principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this age, and spiritual hosts in wicked heavenly places. This is what we're contending with. These are the puppet masters that are pulling the strings. But again, don't miss it. But Satan is the head chief officer. He is the general that is pulling the strings and orchestrating this whole thing. Now, I want to talk about when years ago when our troops were involved in a direct conflict in the Middle East during the Gulf Wars. If you will remember, some of y'all remember this, some of you won't, but there was a lot of freakish supernatural things that was going on, that was phenomenons, things that were unexplainable. There was sandstorms that were generated and nobody, they couldn't figure out how it just suddenly appeared. There was supernatural lights that were seen in the skies. There was supernatural noises that would occur that would startle troops and that would come against the U.S. troops. All kinds of things that was happening. I believe with all my heart, this was activity of these prince chief spirits in this region. Because remember, Daniel also contended with these. Remember, in 21 days of prayer and fasting, Daniel was contending for an answer to prayer. And an angel appeared unto him and said that we heard you, the Lord heard you on the first day, but there was a, watch this, there was a war in heaven that was contending for your answer to prayer. There was a hindrance happening in heavenly places. Now, I want to shift gears. Listen to me clear. Watch this. I want to go to the book of Luke, Luke 17. All right, Luke 17. I'm going to read all of this right here from verse 22 all the way down to 26. So I just want you to be ready for this. All this is going to come into play today. Luke 17, 22 through 26. This is Jesus speaking. And then he says unto his disciples, the days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will, now listen to this carefully. They will say to you, look, look here, or look there. Do not go after them or follow them. For as lightning that flashes out of the one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Verse 26, Luke 17. Here it comes. Ready? And as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Now, I want to show you something really powerful here. Jesus said, he gives us a clue. If we want to know what it's like in the days ahead, we got to go to the days behind. We got to go in the past. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, the thing that which was is the thing that shall be. There's no new thing under the sun. You guys know this, okay? But I'm going to show you from the writings of John and the Apostle Paul that, listen to me, there was a spirit that was operating in the earth in the days of Noah. It was operating in the earth in the days of the early apostles. It is operating in the earth in this very hour, and it will continue to operate, and it will intensify until the revealing of the son of perdition, the man of perdition, the man of sin, the Antichrist of the Bible. Ready? So let's take you on this little journey. We're going to develop this whole message right here. All right, let's go to the book of Genesis. We're going to go to the, Genesis means beginning. We're going to go all the way to the beginning where this spirit was first seen. It's influence, its manifestation, its characteristics, this spirit. What is this spirit, Brother Ricky? That's what we're going to tackle. Ready? Here we go. Genesis chapter 11. We're in Genesis 11. Excuse me. Let me retract that. Genesis 6, for you guys who are listening by Apple or by Spotify. You guys that are watching, you've got the scripture here. Genesis 6, verse 11. All right. Look what it says. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. I want somebody to say this with me. The earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt for all flesh. It corrupted their way on the earth. Now, when you read this from your English translation of the Bible, it does speak volumes, and it says, you know, in violence is violence. We know that that is a horrendous thing. But when you peel the layers back deeper, you guys have always, you've heard me encourage you to do that. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, other portions in Aramaic. Then you get to the New Testament's written in Greek. That's where you have to go to the original language, and this is where you're going to pull out the definition. the true understanding of what the writers are telling us here. So this is the case here in Genesis 6, verse 11. Again, English translation says violence, but when you go to the Hebrew, and I want to show you so you can see it for yourself. When you pull up the Hebrew word for violence, it is a word in the transliteration Hamas. Wow, Hamas. This, again, the same terror organization that is slaughtering innocent lives in Israel. Hamas. So let's read this again from Genesis chapter 6, verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with Hamas. Now, we know that Hamas, as in the Islamic terror faction, was not around in the days of Noah. Okay? Because Muhammad didn't even, Islam was not even founded yet at that time. So we know that that Hamas could have not existed in that day. So what are you trying to say, Brother Ricky? I'm trying to tell you that there was a spirit that was behind what was going on, filling the entire earth with violence. And it is not a coincidence that it's the Hebrew Hamas, the Hebrew word Hamas. And let me give you this in my translation of this. And come on, if you want to know what it's going to be like at the return of the Son of Man, go back to the days of Noah. There was a spirit that was operating through the men and women on the earth. It was a spirit that had the same characteristics as Hamas. It was kill, steal, and destroy. This is a demonic spirit. I'll take it a step further. It's an antichrist spirit. Now you say, well, what do you mean an antichrist spirit? All right, let's go back to the Word of God. Let's go to the New Testament. This is John. John writes in his first epistle in the second chapter. He writes, well, let's start at verse 18. This is 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the antichrist is coming. The Antichrist. In Greek, it's ho antichristos, the man, the antichrist, the man of perdition, the son of perdition, the Assyrian, the king of Babylon, the little horn that Daniel saw rising up among the ten. The Antichrist is coming, future tense. But look what he says here. Even now, present tense, at the time that John wrote this epistle, he said, even in his day, there were many antichrists that have come. Now, how's it possible? I thought there was one antichrist, Brother Ricky. How can there be many antichrists? You'd be surprised how people get confused from this. The answer to this, guys, is there's a spirit of antichrist. The same spirit that will empower the antichrist has been on the earth all the way in the days of Noah in Genesis chapter 6, it was operating through the men, bringing about violence, corruption, evil in the earth. The same spirit was then around in John's day, and he identifies this spirit as the spirit of Antichrist. He said, there's been many antichrists that have come. Many people has risen up that's been influenced by the Antichrist, influenced by the Antichrist spirit. And they present the characteristics of the Antichrist spirit. What are the characteristics, Brother Ricky, of the Antichrist spirit? Well, I'm glad you asked, because we're going to get into that. Look what he says here. Even now, many antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They, again, he's referencing all these men that rose up in his day, in his timeline, that had the Antichrist spirit on them. They went out from us, okay? From who? The apostles, the early church. They were not of us. You'd be surprised. Now, guys, there's whole denominations that use this, and they completely slaughter this proper context of the scripture, and they use this scripture for backsliding Christians. Listen, the Bible says the backslider in heart will be filled with this way. I know you try to, you want to take backsliding out of the Bible, but it's in there. And people will use this scripture to try to tell you that, there's no such thing as a backsliding Christians, a Christian, and they will use this scripture. This scripture has nothing to do with backsliding. You got to keep it in context. He's talking about those who have an antichrist spirit that he identifies as antichrist, plural tense, but then he makes a distinction that there is a antichrist, the antichrist, that will rise up in the last days. Daniel talks about him. John talks about him. Paul talks about him in his letter to the Thessalonians. Okay? For if they, again, who's he talking about? These men that had this antichrist spirit, had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Again, he's not talking about backslidden Christians here. It's ridiculous. He's talking about those who have the antichrist spirit. Okay, now watch this. Verse 22. Now we're going to give some characteristics to look out for of those who have this antichrist spirit on them. Oh, guys, I know where I'm going with this whole message. I'm telling you, you got to listen to all of this. Some of y'all got that TikTok attention span and you can't get beyond 3 minutes of the video and you turn it off because, well, Brother Rick, you're not getting to the point. I build a long, deep, and wide foundation to build on. I don't just throw out bullet points without a foundation because this is proper hermeneutics. It's proper interpretation of scripture and building on line, precept on precept, here a little, there a little. Who is a liar but he, verse 22, who denies that Jesus is the anointed one, the Christ? He is Antichrist. Now, he didn't say he is the Antichrist. He is Antichrist. He has an Antichrist spirit on him that denies that Jesus is the anointed one, the Messiah. Listen to this. He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Look what it says here. John says, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So stop. Let me break this down again. So if you want to know the main characteristics of the Antichrist spirit, if you want to look out into the streets of New York, you want to look out into the streets of Dearborn, Michigan, you want to look out into the streets of these major cities where people are pouring into the streets and they're chanting things that are anti-Semitic.
This is a massive pro-Palestinian rally in Michigan. There's got to be 3,000 people indoors. Tons and tons of Palestinian supporters in a rally in Michigan. This is happening all over the world, but it's also happening in all of our big cities. Now, I want you to know that these, not necessarily this one, but one in Spain and several around the world, have begun chanting, "Gas the Jews, gas the Jews."
But if you want to know what spirit is influencing them, it's the same spirit that's been here since Genesis chapter 6. It's the same spirit that was in John's day. If they listen, if the spirit that is on them denies that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, if their belief system is centered around that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God and not the Messiah, they have an Antichrist spirit on them. Oh, come on. Listen, I've already got my feet wet. Let me just go all the way in. Any individual that is standing up and supporting the slaughtering of innocent children, raping of women, destroying homes, burning down homes, ransacking villages and homes and separating parents from their children and chopping off the heads of individuals. They have an antichrist spirit on them.
Police are also stepping up patrols in some cities. Officers have responded to a few instances of confrontations between the two sides. Law enforcement also monitoring for potential threats to synagogues and mosques.
Yeah, Brett, Black Lives Matter sparking outrage today, supporting radical Islamic terrorism. BLM chapters and groups across the country celebrating the sickening Hamas assault by these paragliders descending from the sky and bringing death to 260 young people enjoying that music festival. The Chicago BLM chapter posted on X an image of a paraglider, just like the terrorists, with a fluttering Palestinian flag above the words, "I stand with Palestine," and the comment, "That is all, that is it." BLM chapters, including those in Louisville, Detroit, and Los Angeles, also showed their support, reposting that image. Noted theologian Rabbi Shay Held responded by posting on social media, quote, "Because nothing says liberation like slaughtering 40 babies in one small kibbutz, shame on you for declaring your moral bankruptcy." Another chapter, the Black Lives Matter grassroots group, calls the attack on Israel a, quote, "desperate act of self-defense that must not be condemned." Well, the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, Gilad Erdan, told me that he is shocked that some pro-Palestinian groups in our country have actually been supporting Hamas.
We just saw 700 innocent civilians, babies, mothers, grandparents, Holocaust survivors were butchered by barbaric Hamas operatives. And you are standing here supporting them? What can I tell these people? It makes me cry.
Now, in Washington, it's been diluted and watered down to the point where it's not looked like it is right now, but it has always been there. The spirit that promotes the shedding of innocent blood is an antichrist spirit. 2 John 7, "For many deceivers have gone into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh." They don't believe he was the Messiah. They are antichrist, guys. They're antichrist spirit on them. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Now, why am I telling you this? Because you've got politicians, you've got liberal theologians and people that are just ignorant of scripture that want to try to tell us that the God of Islam and the God of Christians are the same God. No, they're not. Listen, that is not true. Allah and Elohim are not the same God. Are you ready for this? Jesus is about to drop a urgent warning. He's about to drop some heavy revelation on the disciples of his day and our day. This was not just a warning to his disciples, but this is to perpetual generations. And I believe this is so relevant for right now. Listen to what he says. This is in John 16, Jesus is speaking. "These things I have spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble." In other words, I'm about to tell you something because there's going to come a day you're going to see things that's going to try to cause fear to rise in your hearts and uncertainties. But listen, he says, you were not made to stumble. God has not given you the spirit of fear. Look what he says, verse 2. "They will put you out of the synagogues." Yes, the time is coming. Look at what it says here, that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service. Guys, I don't know how much I can say and get away and keep this up on the program and keep this without getting it taken down. But listen carefully of what's being chanted while they're carrying out these attacks. When people are being slaughtered and they're shaking their fists, there is something that's being screamed in Arabic. And listen to it carefully. "The time is coming. that whoever kills you, they will think that they're offering God service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known me, they have not known the Father nor me. All right, I got to take you to 2 Thessalonians. I know I told you guys this is going to be deep. 2 Thessalonians. This spirit, this Antichrist spirit, will be in the earth all the way until the revealing of the Antichrist. Because you've heard me say that. The spirit of Antichrist will prepare the way for the arrival of the Antichrist. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2. The Apostle Paul is speaking to the church. He's telling them that there will be a falling away that will take place in the time of the end, and this will happen first. Then he says that this man of sin, that's the Antichrist, the son of perdition, he will be revealed after the restraining force of whatever that restrainer is will be removed and taken out of the way. The son of perdition, the Antichrist will be revealed. Verse 4, he will oppose and exalt himself that all that is called God or that is worshiped. He will sit in this temple in Jerusalem, revealing himself that he is God. Now let's read on verse 5. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. You've heard me talk about this. I know some of y'all is going to disagree with Brother Ricky, but that's okay. We're still brothers and sisters, but I believe the restrainer is the ecclesia. It is the church. The church will be removed from it will be taken out of the way through the rapture, and then the Antichrist will be fully revealed in his time. But I'm not here to debate that. I want to point to verse 7. Look what he says. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Are you catching this? Paul is saying, whatever this mystery of lawlessness is, and he called it a mystery. So don't ask Brother Ricky to fully explain it if Paul called it a mystery. He said this mystery of lawlessness was already working in Paul's day, and it will continue to work all the way until the time of the end, and it will end all the way until the time that the Antichrist is revealed. Now you just look, how long have we gone here? We've gone about 35 minutes or so. You just look at what's happening right now before our eyes. There is demonic principalities, there's powers and spirits in heavenly places that is orchestrating events to take place. But guys, can I say this? It's not like God's caught off guard. God is allowing it to happen. I'll remind you. Oh, come on, this is good. In Ezekiel 38, it's God who puts the hooks and the jaws of these nations and pulls them to come and invade Israel. You go to the book of Revelation. It's God who puts it into the hearts of the 10 kings to surrender their sovereignty and their power over to the Antichrist in 1 hour's time. That happens during the tribulation. God does that. So there's, don't try to, I'm not saying that it's all the enemy. Now, he's the main culprit, because I'm really kind of focusing on the spirit of Antichrist, in case you've not really caught on to what I'm saying here. We're talking about the spirit of Antichrist, but guys, the Bible says it's God who sets up kings and pulls down kings. He puts kings in positions and he puts them out of position. God is on the throne. Somebody, listen to this right here. God is on the throne. God is in control. God is not caught off guard. God sees, hears, and knows everything. And here's the bottom line, friends. Bible prophecy has to come to pass. Oh, you didn't? Let me. I want to talk to the back row back there that's falling asleep while they're scrolling through their Facebook reels and their TikToks. Bible prophecy has to be fulfilled, whether it's in your lifetime, whether it obviously wasn't in your grandfather's and grandmother's lifetime, and then your great grandfather's and grandmother's lifetime. Obviously, it wasn't in your parents' lifetime. Could it be possible that we are the generation who will see all these things coming to pass? Because listen, I'm telling you, there is things happening quickly. Things are happening rapidly right now as we speak. Nations are being pulled into this, and they're not just any nations. You have Iran, which is a major player in Gog and Magog. They're already condemning Israel. They are the ones that are chanting these, and I don't want to say this on the air, but they are chanting the destruction of Israel. Iran, no doubt, was behind this. They were one of the ones who are funding it. And by the way, at the recording of this broadcast, there's a lot of chatter going on right now. I cannot confirm or deny this, so I'm just going to throw this out while we're here. By the time this airs, this may be confirmed, but apparently there's been a major cyber attack, and some sources are saying that Iran and China are directly involved. You've got Turkey, Erdogan. He's come out and he's condemned Israel. Of course he has. Turkey. So you have Iran, you have Turkey, you have Russia. Well, guess who those guys are? Guess who those nations are? They are the three main players of Gog and Magog. And they're being forced to take sides right now. And guess whose side they're taking? Look at this. The leader of Hamas is calling for a, quote, mobilization of the Arab and Islamic world this Friday, the 13th. Hamas has called for those in Arab and Islamic, in the Islamic world to, quote, show their support. Now you look at the environment that's happening right now. Look at the conditions that are spiraling out of control. Look what's happening in the streets of New York. Look what's happening in France. Look what's happening all over the world. You're seeing these Palestinian sympathizers. You're seeing Hamas sympathizers. You're seeing people chanting. There was even, not here in America yet, but outside of America, they were even chanting things like "gas the Jews." This is happening, guys. What is this? This is the spirit of Antichrist. So listen, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. If you live in a large city with a large population, you need to be alert. You need to pay attention. You need to share this. You need to let them know.
Mayor Adams says security is being ramped up at synagogues and other Jewish organizations here in New York.
All right, Fox 5's Chris Welch joins us live from the Upper East Side. Chris, what sort of police presence have you been seeing today?
Well, it's kind of a mixed bag, Stephen and Tasha. Look, we're seeing some synagogues saying they have noticed increased NYPD presence. Others haven't. But I do want to tell you that I'm standing outside the Park East Synagogue on the Upper East Side right now. We met a rabbi here, Arthur Schneier. He's 93 years old. He's a Holocaust survivor. And this is what he told me when I asked what his reaction was to these attacks over the weekend. He said, "This attack, quote, makes the beast in man reappear." Now, he says there are security concerns after this. Yes, the community is on heightened alert, but he says he's grateful for what the mayor said over the weekend, that he would provide additional security. The mayor promised in a press release to deploy additional NYPD resources to Jewish communities and places of worship all over the city. Now, Rabbi Schneier says he has noticed it already outside Park East, but we also reached out to a handful of synagogues in town, including Temple Emmanuel, and Park East was the only one to tell us they've definitely noticed an increased presence today. So I want you to hear a couple sound bites here. Here's the mayor and then Rabbi Schneier.
We are going to monitor to make sure that people do it in a peaceful way. Mm-hmm. They're going to be, I'm sure, pro-Israel organizers as well, and we're going to make sure that people abide by the law.
There are some people, right in our midst too, who actually demonstrate and say, this action by the terrorist attack is justified. How can you justify kidnapping children, elderly? How can you justify killing civilians? Yes, we have to be alert.
Obviously, the concern here in this country, the deadly terror attacks in Israel, highlighting concerns about national security threats through the southern border here in the U.S., and the record number of people on the terror watch list. stopped there bear that out. Bill,
I can tell you for over 2 years now, Border Patrol agents have been telling us they've got extreme concerns about who is crossing our southern border, primarily because so many agents have been pulled off the front lines to instead focus on processing. And that then leaves gaps in our border where we simply have nobody out on patrol. And the numbers are startling. We'll start with the terror watch list numbers. Fiscal year 2023, so far, 151 people on the FBI's terror watch list have been arrested by Border Patrol agents while they were crossing illegally here at our southern border. That is the highest number on record. It's also higher than the previous 6 years combined. The highest number under Trump was six. We got 151 this year so far. Now, the Biden administration says, well, that shows they're catching more people, right? Not exactly. We'll talk about the gotaways. CBP sources telling us since President Biden took office, there have been well over 1.5 million known gotaways at our southern border. These are illegal immigrants who are crossing the border and are seen on cameras or sensors, but Border Patrol doesn't have the manpower to get to them, so they successfully get into the United States without capture. For perspective, that is a population size bigger than the city of Dallas, Texas, that has successfully snuck across our border and gotten into the United States without apprehension. It's enough people to fill up 16 Rose Bowls in Pasadena, California. We also got some brand new internal CBP data leaked to us this morning from CBP sources. If we can pull this graphic up, this data showing that thousands of so-called special interest aliens have been arrested by Border Patrol while crossing at our southern border illegally over the last 2 years. These special interest countries are what the federal government determines countries or conditions that favor terrorism or could potentially pose a threat to the United States. But you can see these countries, thousands from Afghanistan, more than 600 from Iran, more than 160 from Lebanon, the home of Hezbollah, more than 500 people from Syria, the home of ISIS, more than 130 from Yemen, home of the Houthi rebels. And former Border Patrol Chief Rodney Scott, who served under both President Trump and President Biden, says when Border Patrol agents encounter these people, they basically have no way of knowing who they are.
I'm telling you right now, I will not be in any location with large crowds in large cities this for a while. I'm just saying. I think things are spiraling out of control, guys. Things are spiraling out of control, and this stuff is spilling into our states. It's spilling into other places. This is not just isolated to the Middle East. And another thing I want to pull out, I told you we're going to go deep today. Have you noticed all the earthquakes that keep taking place in Afghanistan? There has already been multiple powerful earthquakes that have struck Afghanistan that's killed over 1,000 people in Afghanistan. One of the things that I think is interesting is the location of this. There's a reason you're going to see. I would not be surprised, guys, if you start seeing more and more earthquakes. And the reason why is, oh man, I don't even know if I should open this can of worms. If you go all the way to the book of Genesis, remember when Cain slayed Abel, it says that his blood, the blood of innocence, cries out from the earth. If you go into the book of Revelation, there is souls that were slain, innocent souls that were slain. John saw them under the altar of God's throne, and they were crying out saying, how long, O Lord, shall you avenge our blood? Listen to me. You go to Romans chapter 8. It talks about the earth and travail. It talks about birth pangs. It is of my opinion that one of the things that causes major disasters in the earth, howbeit earthquakes, volcanoes, these things, is the shedding of innocent blood seeping into the earth. Think about what's going on right now in the Middle East. I would not be shocked nor surprised if you start seeing more and more powerful earthquakes start taking place in this region because of this factor right here. Look, if you don't believe me, go to Revelation chapter 11. When you go over here to Revelation 11, it talks about, now this is in the future. This is in the tribulation. The third temple will be constructed. There will be two witnesses that will come. And the Antichrist is already on the scene. The two witnesses will start preaching the gospel. I don't believe the church will be here. Again, that's my opinion. I believe the church has already been taken from the earth. The two witnesses will come. I believe it's Elijah and Enoch. They were the only two prophets that never saw physical death. God said it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. But nevertheless, there'll be two witnesses. They will preach for 1,260 days, But look what it says here. Down here in verse 7 and 8, the Antichrist will have them slain in the streets of Jerusalem. So notice this. They will be slain. This is the killing of innocent blood. And you go down here to verse 11. Look what it says here. And after 3.5 days, the breath of life from them entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell upon all those who saw them. So they will be raised from the dead. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead will raise them from the dead. And look, and then they heard a loud voice crying from heaven saying, come up here. And they ascended to heaven in a cloud. That's a rapture. Harpazo. They caught up. It's the same Greek word. So they'll be raised from the dead. They'll be caught up. And all the world will watch this happen. And in the same hour, there was a great earthquake and a tenth of the city fell and 7,000 people died. Notice that an earthquake came and preceded the shedding of innocent blood. And I don't have time. Listen, guys, I could develop that whole message and I could preach a whole hour on this and take you back to history. I could take you back to Rome. I could take you back to the Babylonian Empire. I could show you all through history, there's been great disasters that's preceded the shedding of innocent blood. Even Jesus said, oh, Jerusalem, you who slew the prophets. He said, disaster's coming upon you. And then 40 years later, a generation later, we know that the Roman invasion took place. They invaded the temple. They invaded Jerusalem. They took people captive. The same thing that's happening right now. Same thing that's happening right now as we speak in the Middle East. All right, so I've got about 10 minutes. Here's where I want to go with this last 10 minutes. If you don't get anything out of this, remember this. This is not a battle of flesh and blood. It is demonic spirits and forces at hand. And I will say this, there's forces of good and evil clashing right now. We're seeing this. We're seeing the armies of heaven, the armies of hell. We're seeing Elohim and we're seeing Lucifer. We're seeing the powers of good and evil clashing. Listen, the enemy is going forth to kill, steal, and destroy, but God is permitting it to happen. Why? Because prophecy has to be fulfilled. And I want to leave you with one last point here. Remember when I told you the Antichrist spirit, the characteristics of it? It will deny the deity of Christ. It will deny that Jesus is the Son of God. And it will deny any relationship between the Father and the Son. Did you know that in Islam, one of their core teachings, their core principles that they teach and affirm is that Allah has no son? They believe that Jesus was not the Messiah. They believe he was just a prophet. If you go to the mosque in Islam, even in some of these mosques written on the walls, it says that Allah in Arabic has no son. Did you know, just as you and I, we always reference Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, the writings of the Apostle Paul, the writings of the Apostle Peter, the writings of Jude, and other writers in the New Testament. We quote Old Testament prophets like Zechariah, Daniel, Hosea, Haggai, Ezekiel. All of these have given us these descriptions of the end times, the days of the end, the last times, the end of the age. They talk about apocalyptic scenarios where in which it will produce and it will make it conducive for the rise of this final man who is the Antichrist, who will have his final empire, the beast system. He will work alongside another individual who Revelation 13 identifies him as the false prophet. Again, we as believers understand this. We know this in Christianity. We believe this and we teach this. That's what we're doing tonight. But did you know in Islam, they also have an apocalyptic understanding and belief as well, and they as well are looking for signs of the end time because their Messiah is not Yeshua. It's not the Son of God. They call him the Al-Mahdi. According to Islamic eschatology, this Al-Mahdi is the 12th and last Imam and will appear at the end of days, and he will form an Islamic empire. Are you hearing me? It's also understood that when he arises, he will destroy the Jews and any Christians who do not convert to Islam. and it will be done through beheading. Hello, John the Revelator saw under the throne the souls that were beheaded for their testimony to Jesus. Here's another thing. According to the Hadith and the Quran. Now, the Hadith is the oral traditions of Islam. The Quran is the written teachings of what they say is the Prophet Muhammad that was written in this book. In this, you can find these in Hadiths, these Islamic commentaries. The Al-Mahdi, this is the tradition in which it's being taught by them, by Muslims. We're talking about 1.8 billion people on the earth. In some form or fashion, probably believe this or have heard this or have knowledge of this. According to the traditions, the Mahdi will emerge from the desert riding a white horse, coming as a conqueror. Guys, are you kidding me? All right, I've got to show you this. Jesus talks about, he said there will be an, now I'm, in case you didn't, let me tell you where I'm at. I'm in Matthew chapter 24. Jesus in Matthew 24, starting in verse 15, he warns about when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place. This is the image of the beast, Revelation 13. He talks about all the way down here. He starts going down, excuse me. Then he gets down here. He says, unless those days were short, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be short. Look what he says in verse 23. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, the anointed one, the Mashiach, the Messiah, or there, do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Guys, that's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That's Revelation 13, the false prophet, who, by the way, will work with the Antichrist. But watch this. See that I told you beforehand, Matthew 24, 25. Look at verse 26. Therefore, this is so phenomenal. If they say to you, look, he's in the desert. Do not go out or look. He is in the inner rooms. Do not believe it. Did you know that there are Sunni and Shiite Muslims, and both of these groups believe the Mahdi? One group believes the Mahdi will appear in the desert. Another one believes that he will appear in a well. I believe, and again, it's been a while since I've studied this. I believe this well is in Mecca in Saudi Arabia. If I'm not mistaken, they believe he will emerge out of this well. He'll be the 12th Imam. He'll be the Mahdi. Don't miss the point. Jesus, I don't think it's a coincidence, guys, that Jesus said, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, or look, he's in the inner room, don't believe it. Because again, according to Islam, the 12th Imam has been supernaturally reserved and preserved, and he will be made manifest and revealed in the last days. And are you kidding me? They, according to Islam, he will be riding a white horse. Well, you know who else is riding a white horse in Revelation? Not just Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because he comes later. I think it's Revelation 19. But the first rider out of the gate is the white horse rider who has a bow with no arrows, because he comes in a diplomacy of peace. But and the Bible identifies him as the Antichrist. On a white horse. Again, according to their traditions, the Mahdi will be riding on a white horse, and he will judge by the Quran with justice, and with whom will be men with marks of prostration on their forehead. That's interesting. Marks of prostration on their forehead. Now, where does that sound familiar? Oh, that's right. Revelation 13. Daniel 9:27 says the Antichrist, when he comes on the scene, he will use peace as a diplomacy to conquer. He will come forth in a diplomacy of peace, but he will use it to conquer. He will come on the scene. He will confirm or strengthen a covenant that has been drafted with many for 1 week. In Hebrew, it's 7 years. And by, according to Daniel 8:25, it says he will destroy many by peace. And let me give you this quote here. By peace, he shall destroy many. It's Daniel 8:25. Now, let me give you a little bit more of what is also in these teachings. They also believe that Jesus Christ will appear in the last days. He will come alongside the Mahdi. He will announce to the world that he was not the Son of God. And he will do this by performing great signs and wonders before men. And then he will break the cross of Christianity and he will turn the world to the Mahdi and Islam. Guys, listen to what I'm telling you. We are in the time of the end. I believe this thing is wrapping up quickly. Things are accelerating fast. I don't know how in the world I cannot perceive that this thing can go much longer. I just don't. I mean, I could be wrong. I could be 90 years old and be here saying, man, 50 years ago, I thought this thing was over, but I'm still here. But I just don't. I have a hard time perceiving that. Everything, the technology, that's in place, the wars, the environment, the culture, the lawlessness, the evil, the violence that is covering the earth, everything is what the Lord said it would be. And I know every generation has said this, but if Israel is the centerpiece of Bible prophecy, there had to be a state of Israel in the time of the end for it to be fulfilled. Jerusalem had to be reinstated as the capital of Israel for the prophecies to be fulfilled. 1948, 1967, I don't have time. Listen, Acts chapter 3, the restitution of all things, Psalm 102, 16 and 17, all these talk about how all these prophecies had to be fulfilled over Israel. Israel had to exist as a state, as a nation. Jerusalem had to be reinstated as the capital in order for all these prophecies to be fulfilled. This has happened. It's continued to happen. Again, the technology's here. All of it's happening, guys, right before our eyes. None of this stuff was present in times past in other generations, but it is today. And now I'm going to leave you with this one thing, this one last thing. If you go to Psalms chapter 83, there is some individuals out there that will tell you that they believe this prophecy was fulfilled in 73 with the Arab War that took place against Israel, in which the two main nations was Egypt and Syria. And there was other nations that helped fund the war, but they were not directly involved in the war. But yet they say that that was the fulfillment of this passage. I'm of the belief that we did not see that fulfilled. I believe this is a future event and we could very well be heading into this right now. Let me read this. Psalms 83. Do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace and do not be still, O God. For behold, your enemies make atonement. Those who hate you have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people. Guys, do you know that this attack that just happened on Israel, this was a coordinated attack. They're saying now, intelligence is now coming out saying that this was such a coordinated attack against Israel that they probably have been planning this for years. Again, that's why they're calling this is their 9/11, because the attack on 9/11 on our soil was coordinated over years. And they're saying that this attack, in order for them to do everything they did to take out the Israeli defenses, the Iron Dome, the IDF, the Mossad, all their defenses, they had to strategically orchestrate this. And it was a well-coordinated attack, not only from Hamas, but other nations that help orchestrate it and fund it. Okay, look what it says. They have taken crafty counsel against your people. They have consulted together against your sheltered ones. They breached the shelter. Look what it says here. They have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation. Guys, what do they want to do? What is their agenda? What's the end goal for these nations? Look, here it is, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. I'm not quoting you something from an Ayatollah or an imam from Iran. I'm quoting to you the word of God written by Asaph in Psalm 83 that was a prophecy about the time of the end. In the time of the end, we would see this happen. For they have consulted together with one consent. They have formed a confederacy against you. Then he tells you the list of who these are, the tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab, the Hagarites, Gibal, Ammon, Amalek, Philistia, the inhabitants of Tyre, Assyria has joined with them. So you got when you go through this, you have 10 nations. That's interesting. 10 nations. 10 nations. That's right. 10 toes, 10 horns. There'll be 10 kingdoms in the last days that will surrender their power over to the Antichrist. 10 nations. You've got Palestinians, Jordanians. You've got the Saudis involved. I'm talking about Psalm 83. You've got Egypt, Hezbollah, Northern Lebanese. You've got Syria and you've got Iraq, all involved in this war right here in Psalm 83. Now you go down that list and you start thinking about who right now is standing against Israel. So it's going to be interesting to me, friend, what is going to transpire in the next weeks to come. Is Iran going to get directly involved, or have they already been directly involved? What about Turkey? What about Syria? Did you know that Israel has warned Syria that if Hezbollah gets involved, which they already have, they've already warned them that Damascus, the capital of Israel, can be destroyed, fulfilling Isaiah chapter 17. So all this is happening, guys, and it is accelerating. It's happening fast. So in this 1 hour program, I've showed you the spirit of Antichrist that's been here since day one. It will continue to increase and it will continue to intensify until the Antichrist is made known and is revealed. I've shown you where we are seeing the makings of prophetic wars. I've showed you and I know we could have spent a lot more time on this, but I showed you where I believe that we are the generation that is alive in the earth that is seeing all these things coming to pass. I'm telling you, we're in perilous times. We're in treacherous times, but I want to leave you again with a redemptive hope. And that is two things. Number one, Luke 21:28. Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Secondly, if you're away from God, you don't know God, you're backslid. Yes, we believe in backsliding. Listen, if you want to define, what is backsliding? Backsliding, in my definition, if you are not as on fire for God as you were last month, a week ago, 3 years ago, you are backslid, friend. That is not ever God's intent. God wants us to have a fresh fire in our hearts and a devotional life to Him. He wants you to be ready at any time for anything and what may come. I want to rest my head at night in peace, knowing that if the Lord, either He comes here, there, or He comes in the air, that I'm ready to go be with Him. Come on, we're getting ready to pray with you in just a moment, but I want to give you some quick announcements before we pray. Again, remember to like this, share this, hit that bell notification, and don't forget, again, as always, to download our free app. It's available on Apple and Android devices. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be good to go. As always, please pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically right there on your screen through the app. That's the easiest way. Or you can give by check or by money order by making it out to right there on your screen, End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, that's Monroe, Georgia, 30655. Also, again, tomorrow night, Thursday night, October 12th. Let me clarify that. Thursday night, October 12th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. We're going to be right here back again, but I'm coming on to the show on with Larry Ragland, with Bishop Larry Ragland of the Big Picture, the intelligence report, the Kingdom Intelligence Report. We're going to be broadcasting with him again, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. We're going to go over some of the stuff we talked about tonight, but we're going to give you some other insight into that as well. So you don't want to miss that again. So be looking for that. So guys, listen, if you're watching, you're listening, you're away from God, don't know God, you're backslid, whatever the case would be, I want to pray with you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every brother and sister that's watching this, that have fallen away from you, that they're backslid, that are on fire for you. Lord, they have allowed the cares of this world to choke out the word. They're not where they should be with you. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would begin to convict them. Lord, through all these circumstances, the events that are going on, may it prompt them to get into their prayer closets and get right with you, God, the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Yahweh, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, may they repent even now. I pray the Spirit of God lead them to repentance. May they turn from their sins and their ways and come back to you, God, in this opportunity right now. Listen, if you're listening to this, you don't know God, you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says if you will believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ died and rose again from the day, the book of Acts says to repent. The Bible says repent. Listen, John, Jesus, and the disciples preached a gospel of repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. I'm going to ask you today to repent of your sins. Just repent of your sins, confess your sins before the Lord, ask him to forgive you, cleanse you, and wash you of all unrighteousness. And the Holy Spirit, my friend, will come and live on the inside of you, and he will lead you and direct you into all truth. And then the next thing I want you to do after you do that, I want you to find yourself a Bible, begin to read that Bible like never before. Start in the New Testament, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, read the New Testament, go back and then read the book of Psalms, Proverbs, read the Old Testament. Start reading this. Find out who Jesus is, why he loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So Father, I pray that right now in Jesus' name, that people would be obedient to the drawing of the Holy Spirit. And because you said no man can come to the Father lest they be drawn to the Son, and no man can come to the Son lest the Holy Spirit draw them and leads them. So Lord, we just pray have your way, Holy Spirit, in this program and in this broadcast, and we'll give you all the glory and all the praise, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said amen and amen. Listen, God bless you guys. We love you. We're going to sign off for tonight. We'll be right back here tomorrow with a great program, October 12th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, Thursday night. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.